You're listening to the Morning Brew with Stu Podcast, and here's your host, Stuart Brooking.
And here we go. Welcome to the Morning Brew with Stu. As always, I'm your host, Stuart Brooking, and my guest today is the head football coach at Southside High School in Arkansas, I believe. He's a football legend. He's written so many books about his offense and on defense, and a lot of coaches subscribe to him for knowledge. I'm one of them, and the football coach I'm talking about is the one and only Kenny Simpson. Kenny, a big thank you for coming on. I'm a big fan. I've been watching your stuff. I first discovered you on Ron Mackey's podcast show, so I'm a big fan of yours. I've been watching you ever since.
Oh, man, that's humbling. I appreciate the introduction. My wife would be laughing in the background if she was up this morning. No, it's always good to talk football, and hopefully today we can maybe find something that'll help somebody down the road. So thank you for having me on.
Of course. So the offense that you've held a bunch of clinics for, actually you just held one not too long ago, and the offense that everyone knows you for is the gun tee. And it's different from the traditional wing tee in a bunch of different variants. Can you kind of explain to the people who may not know what the gun tee is, how it differs from the traditional wing tee or even the shotgun wing tee, and what yours allows you to do inside your offense?
Yeah, and I'll try to keep it not too long here, but basically several years ago, I switched jobs. And so I came to a job in Arkansas. You mentioned Southside, and that's where I currently am. And we didn't have the kind of kids we needed to run what I wanted to run, which was the spread. And so we had to do some research. So we came up with basically a hybrid of the wing tee with a lot of our other background knowledge. I had a lot of knowledge in the air raid and in a lot of Noma Zonies stuff where the RPOs kind of come along. And we wanted to kind of blend the both of two worlds. So it took some time, but back in 2015, 2016 was the first year we kind of unveiled it, and it's evolved, you know, from then. But basically it's a blend of wing tee running game, mainly the buck sweep and the counter, the double handoff, with the RPO world. And then we also tie in our own little flavors of an inside run. We call it belly. It's not a real wing tee belly play. It's more of a kind of a power-ish play. But it's been really good for us. And so from that, we've kind of developed multiple things for coaches. We've got about five different books they can get that the offenses evolve through. We do position manuals. So if you're trying to learn how to teach the blocking or how to teach some of the receiver stuff, we've put that out. Been really good for us. You know, since we've put that offense in, it's dramatically changed our program. And then I'm, like you mentioned, I'm able to travel around and talk to other coaches about how we put the offense in and the benefits of it. Obviously nothing is perfect. And so we're always working to kind of evolve that, but it's been really good for us. We feel it puts a lot of stress on the defense because we can get into some unbalanced looks as well as have the threat of a passing game, get into empties, trips, all the kind of stuff that the spread guys enjoy doing, but being able to do it from a formation that allows you to consistently run the ball.
Yeah, what I also really like about your offense is, and you kind of touched on it a little bit there with the flexibility of your offense and those types of things. The traditional wing tee doesn't necessarily allow that. But what I also like about it is, too, if for your offense, a quarterback is needed. As you know, I was watching some videos on you. You were talking about how, you know, a good QB, whether it be decision maker, thrower, runner of the football, is kind of needed. And what I like about that is you could also do traditional. If the passing game isn't working, you could go and, like you said, run buck sweep or run some belly, run some traditional wing tee stuff that maybe may take you to success. So I love the flexibility of this offense that really allows for the different types of athletes that you have. Did you think about that when you were coming up with this offense?
Yeah, we did. Like every young coach, you know, and I think every young coach does it. We kind of would run one offense, and the next year we'd have different kinds of kids. And so we'd run a different offense, and we have different kids, we'd run a different offense. And sometimes our quarterback get hurt, and now we'd have to change our whole offense. And so we wanted something that a coach could put in that, you know, that while it's going to change every year, you're going to evolve your offense. Terminology doesn't have to change. The scheme can flavor a little bit, but the basis of the offense doesn't change. And like you mentioned, we put this offense in. I've moved schools at one point. So I've coached at the 6A, the 5A, the 4A level. I've had seven different quarterbacks in, I think, 7 years. And so we've had to learn how it adjusts to each type of quarterback. And as you mentioned, if you're in the spread world, there's a lot of pressure on your quarterback to be almost elite. He's got to be really, really, really good at either like a Lamar Jackson type kid who can just, is just a phenomenal athlete, or a kid who can just really spin it. And that's not the case at every high school in America. We don't all have that kid. So we needed an offense that would allow a kid, hey, you need to be solid at what you do. You need to be a good player, but we're not going to put the entire success of our offense in the hands of one kid. And so we feel it kind of takes the pressure off of the quarterback and makes it a little more simple for him. And then, like you mentioned, we can adjust that. If we've got a kid who's really talented, of course we can showcase that. If we've got a young one or one who's just learning, there are ways we can kind of make it really simple for him to be successful.
I was listening to you talk. I was doing some prep for this interview, and you were talking about how back in your spread days, you really ran a bunch of inside zone, you know, all that type of stuff. And those, like you said, like we were talking about with the quarterback, kind of require some running back talent that, you know, you're going to go on and play maybe some of the higher levels, some of that kind of stuff. What does this offense and the wing tee or the gun tee really do to help, I guess, make the running game work better?
Yeah, I think the wing tee is based on angles and blocking. And so, one, starting with the line, you can have smaller linemen as long as they're gritty and they're tough. I mean, that has to happen. But you can have linemen that maybe are outweighed. That's a very common theme I run into where travel around the country and we don't have those giant linemen. Rarely are we going to have five really good linemen. And so it can hide deficiencies within linemen. It can really kind of highlight their strengths. And so a lot of it is just angle blocking, understanding how to pin guys down, how to base guys out. You know, we teach our guys to block half a person. And then as you move to the backfield, as you mentioned, it's a different thing to hand a guy the ball on zone. He's got to have really good vision or elite athletic ability to be a really good zone runner, in my opinion, or your line has just got to be dominant. And so when you run gap scheme, which is something we really pushed because I'd had such a bad experience with zone, run gap scheme, it allows you to only open up, we call these like horizontal gaps. You don't have to get push up the field. We don't have to just dominate up front. We simply have to open up a gap. And now that running back kind of knows roughly where he's going based on the design of the play. So while it's great to have an elite back, it's not necessary. You just need a back that's willing to run to the designed gap of the play.
Yeah, and your offense is also very big with some of the RPOs and all that kind of stuff. Actually, it's very big on the RPOs. When we say RPO, everybody, you know, hears the word RPO. You know, for instance, we're recording this the Sunday before conference championship day, you know, in the NFL. Tony Romo, Jim Nance are going to be talking about RPOs with Lamar Jackson all day tomorrow. But I don't think maybe the casual fan truly understands maybe what an RPO is and the different variations, because there's also an RRO, as I've heard you talk about in your podcast. Can you kind of explain to what an RPO is and the different variations of an RPO?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the flavors of RPO have been around for a long time. You know, so there's basically, if you watch football and the quarterback, they're running a run play and he sees something and a receiver is running a route. A lot of times at that level, you give the quarterback the freedom to take that pass. And at the high school level, a lot of times you'll see it done where there's a screen being run on one side of the field and a run being run, and the quarterback has the decision to make. He can make it pre-snap, which means he can decide before the ball's even snapped and choose to throw the screen or hand the ball off. So that's a very common RPO. You'll see that done at almost any level of any kind of spread offense. At this point, if they're running spread, that's called a gift. A lot of people refer to that as a gift. If you know you can throw that ball and get us 5 yards and we don't have to block anyone, we'll throw the ball. And so that's the first level. you kind of hit on, there are run-run options. Lamar Jackson will do a lot of those if you're watching the games with him, where he can hand the ball off or he can pull the ball out and run it himself. And so a lot of times the design of the play is to block everybody except for this one player, and then he makes that read off of that one player. And if he pulls it to run it, we refer to that as a run-run option, or RRO. So as you kind of evolve into this world, you'll see if you watch the Dolphins play or if you're watching the Chiefs, you know, they're going to run more RPOs, which means they're going to have some receiver running some kind of inside breaking route off of a linebacker or a safety, and the quarterback is reading that player. So as the ball is kind of in the mesh where he's looking to hand it off or run it, he'll make a decision. If that player that we're reading decides to attack the run, we'll pull the ball out and we'll throw it into that area. And if that player sits still, then we'll hand the ball off. And it's only the RPO game is only limited by your ability to be creative. You know, we run several flavors of RPOs, and the ability to teach your quarterback how to read those, I don't think is very difficult, but it does take some time on the front end. So we run RPOs with backside linebackers, outside linebackers, safeties, depending on what it is. And as you kind of move up the chain and get deeper into that world, that's made the running game explosive. The idea behind it was we're trying to take advantage of a run defender who is supposed to play the run and he has to play the pass. And so we're going to try to make him wrong. And so to me, RPOs have been around for about 10 years strong. I don't see them going anywhere. I think they're just going to continue to evolve even more.
When a couple of questions directly about your offense, do you guys do, I know I was listening to, I think it was Ron Mackey's podcast that he had, or the show that he had on YouTube. And he had a while back, a coach from Middle Tennessee State, and they were talking about how they read gap schemes. Do you guys read gaps for your RPO, or do you read players?
No, we read players. So, like, we'll identify the player. Now, for us, a lot of times that turns into a gap. But we don't see as many. I would imagine the college level, you're going to see a lot more moving pieces. Where a lot of times for us at a high school level, we want to identify it, make it really simple for our quarterback. We're reading this player, which puts the pressure on me as a coach to move his eyes where they need to go. Or at a collegiate level or NFL level, when you might be able to tell that guy, we're reading, you know, the second level defender who's on backside A gap. Well, my 15-year-old quarterback is not going to be able to do that. And so we're going to have to modify it for him.
And then do you guys, because some offenses do, I don't know how, I'm sure it takes an elite quarterback to do so, but do you guys do a lot of double reads for the RPO? So you like read the crashing end and then the backer, or is it just the crashing end and you make your decision off of that, or just the linebacker and those types of stuff?
It takes a quarterback. You mentioned it. And so we've run this system now for 7 years. And I think we've had maybe three quarterbacks we've allowed to do that. Because a lot of them, if you give too many decisions, they start guessing.
Yeah.
And so I think you can. We've done that before. I think we've had three of the seven quarterbacks, so about 50%, have been capable of doing that by their senior year. But it's definitely a process. You start allowing them to read more than one player, it can be more expensive, but I think that it's definitely possible to do.
One thing you talk about on your podcast a lot and those types of things are keeping it simple. How big is that for you? And was that something that when you first got the job, you did, or did it take some trial and error to figure out?
It takes a while, you know, because there's a couple of things as a coach, you always think if we can add one more play, that's the magic play to do that. And you learn quickly that that's not the case. There are no magic plays, you know. Second thing is, you know, when I make that statement, a lot of times coaches hear me say that you need to run a simple offense. I think if you watch us play football, our offense is not simple, but our offense is extremely simple for our players. And so when I make the statement, you got to keep things simple, I'm talking about for them. You know, as an offensive coordinator, I think you need to be able to flavor up your offense to give it the disguise of being maybe not as simple. And so we do that through formations or motions or shifts or trades or all kinds of, or RPOs. And so we have all these little tools, but for our players, it's a very simple offense. You know, they're learning about six run plays total. and they're learning about, depending on the quarterback that year, they're going to learn 5 to 6 pass plays, and then we have a lot of screens and flavors off of those. So they can keep it really simple, be really good at what they do. I think as a coach, it's up to you to make it present as difficult for a defense. And so I think that's where the really good coaches separate themselves is, can you take something that's going to look complicated and make it simple for your kids?
Yeah, that's – I've been listening to, like I said, a lot of your podcast, and then there's someone else, another coaching podcast I've been listening to, where they talk about keeping it simple. And I was talking about this the other day is, when I was playing, I don't think I necessarily heard it that much, but ever since I – you know, I'm only entering my second year of coaching, but I've been studying and looking into it for the last couple of years. And so that's something I've been hearing a lot ever since I got into coaching, is keeping it simple. I don't know if I was just out of touch as a player or if it's something that's really kind of picked up here recently.
No, I think as you get in the coaching world, you'll find that more and more coaches are kind of in that world. But what it means is different to different guys. So, you know, I think it's always good to get them to define, what do you mean by that? You know, I think you can win a lot of games by being very simple, and simple as far as, we only run this amount of plays, we run one formation, we're really good at what we do. That's fine. When I say simple, I'm talking specifically for our players.
Yeah, and I like that. I like that stretch where you're still difficult for the defense to figure out. And I think just out of your base formation, it's kind of hard for the defense to line up, you know, because part of the line, you have the wing set, and then you're spread on the other side. Can you kind of talk about what that does to a defense and how they may have to adjust and align and those types of things?
Yeah, our goal is to kind of present the defensive coordinator with two options. You know, option one is, you can play us in your base defense, and we're going to have a tight end wing, which is uncommon. And so that's going to cause you some personnel issues. You may have a corner who's now having to kind of come up and play the run, and that may not be in his comfort zone. Or a safety who's having to roll up and play the zone, and that may not be his comfort zone. While on the other side, we're in spread. Or option number two, which a lot of guys will kind of defer to, is, we can make your defense, I don't want to say unsound, that's not the right word, but we're going to make them unbalanced, where now you're going to have to commit more players to our tight end wing side to stop the run, which, when you do that, is going to open up some things in the passing game on that side, and in the running or passing game on the other side. And so our goal of our offense is to kind of make you play, pick your poison. You know, do you want to commit to stopping a run and commit all these extra bodies down there to stopping it, which will open up a lot of other things? Or are you going to try to play us in your base type of defense, and you feel that your guys are going to be good enough, even though I'm bringing in a heavier personnel package with a tight end and a wing, and we're willing to run the ball all night long if you are willing to let us run the ball? So I think it kind of presents those issues for a defense. And then we add in, you know, thousands of different wrinkles, like formations and shifts and trades. And so you have all these little tricks if the defense chooses option A, or you have different tricks if they choose option B. But we try to keep it really simple, so when we go talk to other coaches, you know, that are running this offense, they know, okay, if the defense chooses this, then we're going to do that. And we call that the if-then system. If they do this, then we know our answer before we even get into that question.
Yeah, I think a lot of offenses are trying to do that. I think it's a very – you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it goes back to the traditional wing T set, which is the if-then system as far as that goes. So a lot of coaches, I think, are trying to do – some wing T stuff with their offense, but you guys do it very, very well. Can you talk about kind of what about your clinics and kind of what, you know, people, if they want to come to your clinics, you know, I don't know how many more you got this year, or if you got any more this year, but kind of what they'll get and those types of things if they come to your clinics.
Yeah, we got blessed about 2 years ago. We started doing clinics, and I thought, well, maybe 20 guys will show up and we can talk some football and it'll be really cool. And the first clinic we did, it had 300 coaches. So it was really, really neat to connect with different coaches around the world. I've been able to do some virtual with guys that are across an ocean, you know, but domestically, we would like to try to do these in person, because I think it's something about seeing how we put stuff in. And I've been a big fan of, I think you learn by watching guys actually do it, not just talk about it. And so at every clinic we do, we have player demonstrations where the host coach We'll bring his kids out and we'll run them through a kind of a simulated practice. And to me, I think that's the best part of what we do. I think everything else is good, but I think that part where you actually watch us teach them the skill set and you see how we put it together and run a couple plays. And of course, we're on air, but giving you kind of an idea of how quickly and simply we can put this in for the players. And so we've got a couple of those left. I think I'm going to Los Angeles next week. So we've got one in LA, we have one in Reno, we have one in Charlotte, we have one in Boston, we have one in Milwaukee. So we have five left this year. And then next year we'll do another kind of cycle of them. And then we've started offering them virtually, which basically means we record it. So essentially you're buying the recordings and we'll record the kind of the best of each site. And then we put them in a Google Drive. So a coach that, hey, I can't make that drive, I don't live near there, or whatever reason, is able to kind of go on and they can buy the recordings from these clinics.
I want to ask you one final thing. You wrote a book with the title of it. I'm pretty sure it's the production company of your podcast's name, which is Find a Way. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is. Can you kind of talk about what that means and why you wrote the book about and titled it Find a Way?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so when I started out coaching, I started out like a lot of young coaches. I knew some things and I thought I knew some more than I probably really did. And so was successful early on in my career. Then we moved. And so we moved to Arkansas and had some really rough years. I moved into a school that was 0-27, the 27 games before I took the job. So there's a lot of growth to go on there. And so we adopted the mindset of Find a Way as a team, I think probably in 2011 even. And basically the idea being, you know, we're done with excuses. You know, people that make excuses usually aren't the people that win. They're not going to help anybody. And so our goal is to simply find a way to be successful, whatever that is, whether that's running the gun to the offense, whether that's, you know, figuring out a way to motivate kids, whether that's figuring out a way to beat a team that you're not ever supposed to beat. And so our kids really bought into that mindset. So that's kind of become something we've used everywhere we've gone. And it's painted up above our field house. And to me, I think the kids will take on the mindset of the coach. As you can probably, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see I'm not a real big guy. If you ever get to meet me live in a clinic, you'll know I'm not a real big person. And so it's kind of a mindset that I want to pass on to our kids of, you know, we're going to figure out how to get it done no matter what, whether they outweigh you, they're faster than you, they're bigger than you. We don't care. You know, we're not going to listen to whatever excuse, but we are, as a coach, we are responsible for giving you tools to help you win anyway. And I think that's really where my mindset as a coach has gone, where that motto has come. And why we put that in the first book was our job as a coach is to find a way to help our kids. And a lot of times as coaches, we're the first ones to make an excuse when things don't go well. We don't have good enough kids. We don't have enough support from our community. We don't have, and we can list those, and everybody can list those. Everybody, wherever you are, can list things that you wish you had that you don't have. But people that are successful, they find a way to get it done anyway. So that's kind of where that mindset came from. That was my first book. It took me about seven years to write it. Since then, we're just popping them out left and right. You know, that one was really, to me, the start of me kind of getting into helping coaches. So I really look fondly back at that time.
When you write a book about whether it be the gun tee or RPOs, or you even talk about your defense, you even have some books about your defense that you like to run too, which we'll have to have you back on to talk about that at a different date. But when you talk about, when you write books, like what goes into that process when you first decide you're going to write a book, whether it be about finding a way or whether it be about the gun tee or your defense?
Oh, to me, I try to talk, I write like I talk. Like I'm not writing a book to look smart. I'm not writing a book to say we know all the answers, because we don't. You know, we don't. We're like everybody else. We're trying to get better. So when I try to write a book, we're looking at, okay, how could a coach who's brand new take this book, understand what it's trying to say, get something from it? And on the other end of the spectrum, how can a coach who's been around for 40 years maybe find a couple things out of this that could be useful for them? So you know, you're kind of writing to a wide range there. But my goal has always been that if my wife picked up one of my books and she doesn't know a ton about football, she's been around it, you know, obviously, Would she understand the what I'm trying to get across to somebody? Because I think if she can understand it, then any coach, whether they're brand new or they've been around for 30 years, you know, would get something from it. You know, and so that's really my main reason why I'm writing a book is, can this book help somebody? And then as you've kind of seen, I think we're up to like 35 books, you told me. Some books are a lot more involved, you know, like the Find a Way book is a lot more involved. Some are scheme, like you mentioned, All Gun Tea, or they're scheme books. Those don't take a ton of time to write because a lot of times that's just putting stuff you have down and organizing it, making it make sense. Then we have like those workbooks, those offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, head coach. Those take some time, but a lot of time those are meant as a process for a coach. So there's not a just a ton of great content in there. There's a lot of organizational stuff, kind of guiding, and then a coach uses that to work through. And then I have what I would call like 4 to 5 real books. Those are books that like would apply to any coach. So those would be like Find a Way you mentioned. There's 3 or 4 more kind of in that same vein that a coach could pick that up, whether they coach football or basketball or whatever, and hopefully get something from that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of yours. I'm looking forward to reading. I haven't read Find a Way yet. I'm looking forward to it. I'm a big fan. So before you go, Coach, can you let people know where they can find some of your stuff, you know, about your web, you know, send them to your website, all that kind of stuff. Can you just let them know where they can find, if they're interested in running into Gun Tea, where they can find all that information and stuff like that?
Sure, absolutely. I've got a bunch of websites I run, so I'll try to be quick here. But all the Gun Tea, all the book stuff is going to be under fbcoachsimpson.com. And we got a lot of materials on there. There's some defensive ones, like Coach mentioned. All the books are going to be there. And also all our clinics are going to be there, or other events we're doing. That's all going to be there. Then we have 3 other websites we're running. OffensiveCoordinatorAcademy.com. That's specifically for guys that want to be an OC or are an OC and want to get a little better. That's all materials to help them. DefensiveCoordinatorAcademy.com. Same thing, but for defense. There's some books and materials and courses guys that want to be a DC can go to there. And then we just put out TheHeadCoachAcademy.com. Same mindset, but now it's for guys that want to be a head coach. So there's a workbook there. There's a planner there. And then there's about 20 hours worth of courses guys can pick to go through and kind of prepare them in that world. So those are the major websites we've got. And I'm sure you can also find me on Twitter. That's just FB Coach Simpson.
A big fan, a big thank you for doing this, Coach. Like I said, I've been watching your stuff for a couple of years now. Found you on the first time I ever saw you were talking about the Gun Tea on Ron Mackey's YouTube page. And yeah, I'm a big fan. And then I started following you and started listening to your podcast. As a guy who coaches DBs, I'm excited to listen to your latest podcast that you had, because, you know, looking for some new ways to improve. We did pretty well on the defensive backside, but, you know, always trying to find ways to get better and improve. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Absolutely, man. Hey, I appreciate you having me on, and it's cool to connect with coaches, and thanks for the support.
Of course. And for those of you listening, have a good day, good night, good afternoon, whatever it is. You have a good one, and I'll see you next week.